Well, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. The primary concern for those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ is, how can I live for God in this crazy, complicated, chaotic, sinful world? Complicated by the reality that we still have elements within us, in our makeup of who and what we are, that will always crave the old ways of sin rather than the new ways of God. Our flesh. So we are told in chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, that we're to put off the old man and his deeds. And we are to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, I want to read Ephesians chapter 5 and just pull out some verses. And our focus this morning will be upon verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, this morning we come to what I believe is the key to living the Christian life. Or it's the answer to the question, how do I live for God in this crazy world? With this sin nature that I still struggle with, how do I live for God? Well, in verse 18, we're given the answer, and it's expressed two ways. Negatively, do not be drunk with wine. Positively, be filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to take those two and look at them. First of all, we have the negative command, do not be drunk with wine. And I want to begin by saying that this does not say do not drink wine. Does not say that. Now, there's some of us that don't drink wine, and we don't hardly drink more than water. But and some of us have never drunk wine or alcohol. But that's not what this text says. It doesn't say do not drink wine. It says don't get drunk. Don't fill your head with wine. Don't soak your brain in alcohol. That's what it's saying. The present tense verb here could be translated never get drunk. But why does Paul bring up this issue of drunkenness and drinking when he wants to show us what we need to do to live the Christian life by being filled with the Spirit? Why does he seem like he connects the two of those things? Well, there are at least two good reasons. The first reason is that drunkenness is a part of our old sin nature, and we're to put off that old sin nature. Drunkenness is opposed to godliness. And do not be drunk. Literally, he's saying, do not be soaked in wine. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. We don't use that word, dissipation. I wonder when they translated the New King James that they used that strange word, dissipation. The word in the original asotia, it's the opposite of salvation. It's the opposite of salvation. Do not do what is opposite to your salvation. In other words, drunkenness leads to ruin. It leads to degeneracy and it leads to destruction. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 11. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Now that word harlotry in Hosea in the Hebrew literally means sexual immorality. What enslaves the heart? Sexual immorality, wine, and new wine. Drunkenness is a form of moral and spiritual slavery that damns the soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God. So it's very serious stuff. I grew up in a home where my father was a drunkard. And his drinking led to so many problems. Lots of serious problems. And I decided when I was young, no, I don't want any part of it. And because I believe that for me, if I were to start drinking, it maybe would overcome me just like it did my dad. And I don't want any part of it. I just don't want any part of it. That doesn't mean that it's wrong for you to drink, but it is wrong for you to get drunk. It is wrong for you to be controlled and enslaved by the drink, or to be controlled or enslaved by sexual immorality or whatever. The concept of drunkenness helps illustrate, and this again, why does he seem to link these two together, drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit? Well, the concept of drunkenness helps illustrate what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By way of contrast, drunkenness impairs sound judgment. The fullness of the Spirit empowers us to be wise and discerning. Drunkenness is physically and spiritually destructive. The fullness of the Spirit is beneficial to our life and to godliness. Drunkenness is the reckless indulgence and gratification of self. The fullness of the Spirit produces sobriety and stability and self-control. Drunkenness leads to exaggerated self-confidence. The fullness of the Spirit leads to self-denial and a submissive heart. Drunkenness depresses and dulls our mental and moral faculties. The fullness of the Spirit stimulates and energizes our entire being, our soul and our minds and our capacity to serve God. Drunkenness is humiliating and shameful and makes us miserable. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Contrasting to that, the fullness of the Spirit makes us bold, thankful, joyful, and useful in the kingdom of God. So the concept of drunkenness helps illustrate what it is to be filled with the Spirit by way of contrast and by way of comparison. Because there are certain similarities between being filled with the Spirit and being filled with wine. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, as we read about that in Acts chapter 2, they began to speak in other languages so that the people that were there were saying, "These people are full of new wine." In other words, they're drunk. They've got to be drunk. But Peter responded, to those people who were accusing them of being drunk, he said, "No, these people are not under the influence of wine. They're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, in which is excess or waste or ruin or destruction. But," and the positive command here, "but be filled with the Spirit." Now, the word "filled" usually means to make full or complete or to accomplish something. But I would like for us to take a little bit of a Bible study, look at some of the usages of this word in the New Testament. So let's turn to, first of all, Luke chapter 4. And we're just going to, Luke chapter 4. We're told we're to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what does this mean? We're going to look at some texts that speak of being filled with the Spirit or being filled. Chapter 4, verse 1, here's, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Jesus here, what does this mean? He was filled with the Spirit. Well, he was led by the Spirit. He was governed by the Spirit. He was under the influence of the Spirit. And so he went into the wilderness. Luke chapter 4, verse 28. Jesus goes to the synagogue in Nazareth and he preaches to them, and they became angry because he was preaching sovereign grace. That God saves not just the Jews, but he saves Gentiles too. And they became upset. Verse 28, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled." That's the same Greek word, to be filled with the Spirit. Filled, not with the Spirit, they were filled with wrath. And you've got to realize that to be filled with some things is to be in trouble. To be filled with wine is to be in trouble. To be filled with wrath is to be in trouble. He said they were filled with wrath. Verse 28. And verse 29. "And rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill that were, on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. And then passing through the midst of them, he went his way." What does it mean? Well, they were filled with wrath. They were filled with rage. They were controlled by, and or they were possessed by their hateful passions. They were so angry that they wanted to kill Jesus and push him over the cliff. Again, John chapter 16. John 16, we're looking just at this one Greek word, plero. John chapter 16 and verse 5. Jesus is telling his disciples in the upper room, he says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has," and here's the word, "filled your heart." What does it mean? Well, they were overcome with grief and sorrow. They were overcome with this emotion that really bothered them, which hurt them. They were overcome with emotion. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, in this catalog of the depravity of man, God leaves them to themselves. We read in verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled," with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, and so forth. Well, what does it mean? Well, God gives some people over to the full-blown influence of their own depravity and their own depraved nature. He gives them over to the full-blown influence of their sinful ways. And that's what the text is telling us there. The next passage is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." This is one of the prison epistles. He's writing from prison. He's writing to the people at Philippi. And verse 18, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am," and here's the word, "full." I am full. "Having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What does he mean? I am full. Well, he's saying I'm satisfied and supplied with everything that I really need. What I really don't need anything else. I am content with my situation. And if we put all of these things together, we realize that being filled with the Spirit means to be overcome, governed, led, satisfied and supplied with the Spirit. The phrase to be filled with the Spirit is written as, and let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The phrase to be filled with the Spirit is written as an imperative. It's a command, something we must do. It's God's will that every Christian be filled with the Holy Spirit. That all of us be under the influence and satisfied and supplied by the Holy Spirit. And the failure to be filled with the Spirit, because it's a command, is sin. Be filled with the Spirit is a command. And if when we're not filled with the Spirit, we're in sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So he tells us we are to be filled with the Spirit. When we're not filled with the Spirit, we're sinning against God. This is also a present tense verb, which could be translated, keep on being constantly filled with the Spirit. In effect, there should never be a time when, as Christians, we are filled with something else. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Again, be filled with the Spirit. I think it's easy to see that it's also in the passive tense, which means that the filling of the Spirit is not something we do, it's something God does. Something He does. Being filled with the Spirit is all about that special enablement that God gives His people so that we might do what He wants us to do, but also want to do what He wants us to do. The phrase being filled with the Spirit is found in some other passages, and I'd just like to look at them. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Now, we're not looking at the word so much as the phrase to be filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. And this is after the day of Pentecost. Peter had been filled with the Spirit as he preached on that day of Pentecost. But verse 8, Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them," and he's speaking before the Sanhedrin, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by which means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. the Spirit of God caused Peter to be so bold, and he enabled him to speak so clearly and forcefully that these people realize there's something strange going on here. There's something real going on. We realize this guy, these people have been with Jesus. They're just like him. What does the fullness of the Spirit do? It causes us to be like Jesus. It also causes us to open our mouths and tell other people about Jesus. In fact, it's according to the promise, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said to his disciples, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses of me." We need the Holy Spirit to be able to witness for Christ, to talk to others about Christ. I need to be motivated. I need to be influenced. I need to be under the influence. I need to be helped and assisted by the Holy Spirit. Another text, Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. After Peter spoke to the Sanhedrin, they were still upset, and they beat them and let them go. In verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word." Now notice, in his Holy Spirit, in their Holy Spirit filled prayer, they didn't say, "Lord, keep them from beating us. Lord, we don't want to suffer anymore. We don't want any more troubles. We don't want any more problems." They didn't say that. They said, "Lord, make us bold to proclaim Christ. Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that the signs of the wonders and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They all came under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and as a result, they spoke the word of God with boldness. In Acts chapter 9, we won't turn there, Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus was filled with the Spirit for the reason of serving the Lord. In Acts chapter 13, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit as a result of the ministry of the Word of God. So taking the usage and the grammar into account, to be filled with the Spirit means to be influenced and controlled and governed and satisfied and supplied with the Holy Spirit, so that those of us who are believers might do God's will with a glad heart. To do what God wants us to do with delight. To do what everybody says is duty and say, "No, that's my delight. That's what I want to do. That's what I enjoy doing." Now, this raises some questions. And maybe if I were to stop and ask, are there any questions about this? Maybe some people would ask some questions. Maybe you wouldn't. But questions, some questions that come to my mind is, if a Christian is someone who has the Holy Spirit, why wouldn't every Christian always be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why isn't every one of us always filled with the Holy Spirit, those of us who are true believers? Well, we need to understand that the fullness of the Spirit is a description of how the Holy Spirit dwells within our lives as believers. He doesn't live in some secret corner somewhere in our hearts, kind of out of the way. He fills the heart with a felt sense of reality, of His refreshing presence and His power and His provision for us. Unless there's a problem. Unless there's a problem of sin. Sin is always a problem for us. Because sin grieves and quenches the reality of the Spirit in our life. And though we can't lose the Holy Spirit, we can lose the sense of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can lose a felt sense of His presence and His power in our lives. We can lose our delight and desire for the Lord. We can lose the joy of our salvation. We can lose our appetite for the Word. We can make ourselves even more susceptible to sin and to error. In fact, John Owen writes, he said, "What can grieve a loving and tender friend more than to oppose him and slight him when he is most intent upon doing good for us? And that a good to the greatest consequence to us." And so sin grieves the Holy Spirit and it causes issues with us. And every single day we sin as believers. Sometimes we don't realize it, but we're operating according to our flesh when we should be operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Another question that comes to mind, why would God command believers to be filled with the Spirit? Why would He command us to be filled, especially since this is something we're passive in, it's not something we do. It's something that God does. Why would He command us to be filled with the Spirit? Well, we're only passive in the sense that the Holy Spirit is the one who fills and influences us. He's the one that does that. But you and I have to be sensitive and responsive to the Holy Spirit. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable form of worship. And we must present holy bodies. We must be holy before Him. We have to understand also that what God's will is for us. Again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to understand what the will of the Lord is for us. Not only understand it, then we need to do it. But it's more than just doing it, it's wanting to do it. You see, doing the will of God doesn't mean, I do what I'm supposed to do. Doing the will of God is doing what we're supposed to do with a right heart attitude. It's our responsibility to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Another question that comes to my mind, what are some of the practical implications of being filled with the Spirit? Those of us who are Christians constantly need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be energized and motivated under the influence of the Spirit. We need to be directed by the Spirit in order to live the Christian life. You see, the Christian life is very, very practical. It's right down to earth. I know we like to think about theological things and theological truths, and it's important that we do that, but the Christian life is very practical. Now, let's turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to show you some of the things. See how practical the Christian life is. Ephesians chapter 4. We've been over this already. Verse 25. This is how we are to walk worthy of our Lord. Verse 25. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Very practical. Stop lying. Tell the truth. Speak the truth in love, he says later on in chapter 4. Speak the truth in love. Verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Be angry and do not sin? Whoa, talk about a tall order. How do you do that? It's not easy. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Very practical Christianity. That we can govern our emotions only by the help of the Holy Spirit. Again, let him who nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer. Stop stealing. He says, not only are we to stop stealing, we're to work so that we may have something to give to those who have need. How do we do that? It's by the filling of the Holy Spirit. So it's very, verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Two parts to that. Stop talking filthy language. Stop talking things that are corrupt language, but not only stop doing this, but start doing this. Impart grace to those who hear you. Some of us forget the second part. And a lot of us mess up on the first part. Don't we? Very practical stuff. How do we do this? We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because if I live under the influence of my own sin nature, I'm going to say mean things to people. I'm going to say bad things to people. I'm going to get angry and sin. And I might lie. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. And not only me, you do too. And then we could go on and on, but let's look at chapter 5, where we're going. We're headed in chapter 5 and verse 22. We're given these instructions. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Very practical stuff. This is why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't really be submissive at all. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's incredible. Incredible. Because it's about self-sacrifice. Husbands are to sacrifice their own selfish desires for their wives. How do you do that if you're governed or under the influence of the flesh? You can't. We need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit to do these things. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. How can children do that? They can't unless they're filled with the Spirit. So Christian life is very, very practical. And the question that I ask myself this week, and I ask you now, what influence are you living under? What influence are you living under? Is it the influence, control, and direction of the Holy Spirit? Or is it the influence, control, and direction of sin and self in your life? The truth for me is, I've got a mixed bag going on. I really do. I want to do everything I do under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We just have a little bit of conversation with Maureen. I can do that most of the time at church. Try to, at least. I try to. Or maybe up here too. But you ask my wife and you'll see another side of the story. And she says, if she were honest, and she would be honest, she'd say, he's certainly not perfect. That would be the nicest thing to say. We all struggle with so many areas. And sometimes I speak, sometimes I act, sometimes I think under the influence of my old flesh. But I want to act and speak and think under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I want to be under the influence of the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be under His direction. I want to be led by the Spirit. I don't want to be led any longer by the nose of my flesh. So what influence are you living under? Is it the influence of the Holy Spirit or the influence and direction of your sin and yourself? Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Now, I want to close with what may be a silly illustration. But I'm serious. Well, I'm kind of serious. I'm trying to make a point. Okay? And here's my illustration. Let's imagine tonight after the service, or this afternoon after the service, you come to me and we're talking. You come to me and we're talking. And as we're talking, you finally bring up something that's been bothering you. And you tell me, you say, Pastor, I'm really, really struggling spiritually. And I need your help. Can you come to my house tomorrow and help me? And I say, you really want help? And you say, yes, I really need help. Okay? Can you imagine that conversation? And so I come to your house tomorrow, Stephen, and I come to your house with four other pastors. I come with Pastor Al Martin, Pastor John Piper, Pastor John MacArthur, and Pastor R.C. Sproul. Five of us are coming to your house. You too, John. We come to your house, and here's the purpose. We want to be helpful to you. We want to be your spiritual servants. We're there to help you stop struggling. You say, that's silly. That's silly. Well, it may be silly, but you know something? God has provided far greater help and service for us in the Christian life than any group of pastors. He's provided the Holy Spirit for us. And He's given us so much help that you can't fail. All we need to do is ask. Ask, Lord, help me. Fill me with your Spirit. Please help me. I need you. One of the prayers in the Valley of Vision, I've changed a little bit, but goes something like this. Oh, blessed Spirit of God, as the sun is full of light, and the ocean is full of water, and the heaven is full of glory, so let my heart be full of you. Give me yourself without measure as a full fountain of the inexhaustible riches and blessings of God. I'm ashamed of my spiritual laziness and coldness and dullness and emptiness and imperfections. I'm ashamed of my prayerless prayers and my praiseless praises. You get those expressions? You can praise God and not praise Him. Go through the motions of praise. Please come as power to expel every rebel lust. Come as my teacher and lead me into your truth. Come as love and that I might adore and delight in you. Come as joy to cheer me and animate me. Come as light to illuminate in the darkness of my heart. Come as my helper and help me. Help me. Help me. I need your help. That's what the Holy Spirit has been given to us for, to be our helper. And we're told to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Live under the influence of the Spirit and not under the influence of wine or your old nature or your selfish ways. Live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Do not be filled with wine. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. We're going to continue on in this same vein in the next, Lord willing, next week. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, you know our struggles. You are wise. You are gracious. And you are good. And you have given us far better help than we could ever get from any pastor or group of pastors. You've given us your Holy Spirit to be our helper. Oh God, we confess that we have grieved your Spirit so many times with our sins. But we need you. And your word tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. And though we cannot fill ourselves, we want to be responsive to Him. We do not want to be grievous to Him. And so help us. Help us beginning right now. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to live under the influence of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Make it so, O Lord. Do it in our lives, we pray, so that we might bring glory to you. So that we might live a practical Christian life and not be foolish or unwise, not knowing what your will is. Please help us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.